God on high, and to the earth be peace. Goodwill henceforth from heaven to man begin and never cease. Begin and never cease.
All right, Pastor Rice and Bev, on behalf of a grateful congregation, Merry Christmas.
All right.
Deb and Tracy, Merry Christmas.
And we love you.
Praise the Lord. All right, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are we supposed to open this now? Will affect our worship. Praise the Lord. If you got a Bible, get it out and open it up to Matthew and chapter 2.
The clouds and breeze.
we're looking for, as that song states, a second advent of Christ as well. Praise the Lord. And as we're here this Sunday before Christmas, appreciate again that we could just recognize the birth of Christ and worship in that regard a little bit. Today I've been following through the Advent candles, as it were, that had been used to recognize the different aspects of Christ's coming through the month of December. And we've come up to the wise men's candle. So let's look in God's Word to Matthew in chapter 2. Learn some things about wise men. I've entitled this and preached this message again for about 5 years in a row now, and I keep liking it more and more, with this title, Wise Men Still Seek Him. And so let's go ahead and look at that theme just a little bit this morning, this Sunday before Christmas Day coming up. In what, 3 more days till Christmas here, so appreciate again that we could worship today. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Again, you follow along in God's Word as I would read this account down through verse 15. Matthew and chapter 2, and reading of the wise men. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he went and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.'" Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the miraculous birth and the prophecies that are fulfilled on this very page of Scripture and throughout the whole birth of your son there in a manger where there's no room for them in the inn, where again he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Father, we praise you and thank you for this Christmas time when we worship you and acknowledge again the birth of your Son, miraculous as it is, and the joy that it brings to our heart. Touch our worship today and accept our praise. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated, and as we look at this topic here again, we have before us some miracles again about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ unfolding on this page of Scripture. And the wise men, as I said, the title here is that wise men still seek him. And we again want to just go through some things about these wise men to understand again all that's involved in the wise men who came. The wise men were, how do you say, wise men.
Okay. Wise guys.
No, they're wise men.
They were sarcastic.
And notice again that in the in some of your Bibles you have a description of them called that they are the visiting magi. Have we heard that? So again, one of the things that we find as we study these out, that they came from the east. They came again from Babylon or beyond, the Medo-Persian Empire there that ended the Babylonian captivity. And as we study these things again, we marvel at the fact that Daniel was there. And so one of the main things that I found here in this description is a marvelous revelation that these wise men had all the scriptures that Daniel had. These wise men had probably an acquaintance, or possibly had an acquaintance with Daniel and his writings and his history all those years earlier. And so as we consider these things, again, it's just marvelous to look at all that these wise men had. A lot of people, again, tend to worship stars and check their sign and think, again, that they should pay attention to the stars because it tells the future. They do not, again. In fact, God rebukes his nation Israel for being astrologers, for looking up their horoscope in the paper. God calls that, again, the sin of witchcraft. And so, again, understand that these guys were not astrologers, but they did have a sign from God given here that caused, again, that they would seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to look at some things about these wise men. What the wise men knew, what the wise men saw, and what the wise men did. I hope to get through all of that here today. Wise men still seek him. Wise men still study him. Wise men still see him. Wise men still seek him and worship him. And so we'll look at those themes as we go through again this presentation of the wise men and all that they are. The Bible says in Matthew 2 that we had just read again, all the coming of these wise men to worship him, and the details there cannot be overridden again by just what the Word of God says and the clarity that's given there in this accounting. And so this is our outline. They knew the King of the Jews, the Messiah. Remember, how do you say Messiah? That's Hebrew or Aramaic.
Messiah.
How do you say Messiah in Greek?
Christ.
Okay. So always remember that again. And remember that they, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How do you believe in him? You cannot believe in him unless you believe three things John gives in his gospel. Number one, that he is the Son, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah or the Christ, and that he came to redeem his people from their sins. And you can be his people. If you'll accept that free gift with that acknowledgement, what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Make sure we understand that you must believe that he is the Christ. I've listened to testimonies of presidents who profess themselves Christian, and I'm thinking, Jesus is, when you believe that he's a good prophet, you could make a good Muslim, okay? But you can't be a Christian just believing that he's a good prophet. He's more than a prophet. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Holy Anointed One of God. And so again, believing that he is the Messiah, in Greek, the Christ. They saw his star in the east, and they did something about it. They came and they worshiped him. And so as we consider again some of these things, let's just go ahead and understand some things about the account we just read. Herod sends them off to Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 says again that, "Thou Bethlehem Ephratah," and we'd already covered, I hope, everything you need to know about Bethlehem Ephratah, given there in, I think, last week's lesson. And so Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that. He was going to come from Nazarene. He was going to come from Galilee. He was going to come from Bethlehem. He was going to come up from Egypt. And all of those things were fulfilled in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we find the wise men seeking him out as he's born there in Bethlehem. Notice also that Herod wanted to come and worship him. Not, again, understand what was going on there. That Herod had in his intent from the very beginning to destroy the Christ child. Listen, Satan had in his intent from the very beginning to destroy the Christ child. Ever since Genesis 3:15 was given, that said that Christ would break the head of Satan. Listen, Satan had his eyes to destroy the seed line and to destroy the Messiah. You need awareness of that, even if you're going to be a student of the Bible. And so as we look here at this account, look at the things again. I put this chart together there. That did the wise men from the east have a copy of Micah? Micah 5:2. Yes, indeed they did. They likely had all the books that Daniel had. Then they had access to all but the post-exile books, Haggai, Zechariah, Esther, Ezra, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Remember, 1st and 2nd Chronicles were written by a ready scribe. I got another message I was putting together that Jesus knows my name. Praise the Lord. And Ezra had a, what do you call it? Infatuation. No, wrong word. He was just excited to give Hebrew names. And if you know anything about reading through Chronicles, he gave all of the names. Listen, God likes Hebrew names as well. And he's the one who authored all them in there because he knows your name as well. And so as we look again here at all the things they had access to, they had Nehemiah. They did access to all but Nehemiah and Malachi. So the post-exile books they did not have access to. But look at the books that they did have access to as they're listed here again in chronological order that they had access to. I like our Bible reading schedule where we read through our Bible in chronological order of when it was written. To me, that's enlightening. That helps me understand a little bit more of the Bible. And I know we could stop after Genesis and read the book of Job. We're thinking, what in the world is going on? But again, when we read them in the chronological order that they're written, there is some insight. And so here again is a listing of the chronological books that these wise men had access to from the Babylonian captivity. The Word of God went into the Babylonian captivity. It's kept 70 years. Daniel wrote several books. They're into the Bible, and then those scrolls were transmitted back to Jerusalem where they are kept. They are not kept in Egypt. Okay, so if you have a Bible that comes out of Egypt, you got a wrong Bible. They were not even kept in the Babylonian captivity in Babylon. So be careful your Bible doesn't come out of the world. And again, there's a lot of them that do just that. And so here's the listing of the books they had all the way from 887 B.C. all the way to the book of 2 Kings that they had written in 397. I'm sorry, B.C. that is. 887 B.C. all the way. So roughly the exiled Babylonian period all the way up through the birth here. And So as we consider that, the wise men account continues there in Matthew 29 that we had just read to understand again that they came knowing that it was time for him and having seen his star in the east. So what did these wise men from the east know? The wise men knew that what Daniel knew. And Daniel knew a lot. Okay. In fact, Daniel probably knew more than most Christians today. Let me go further and say Daniel probably knew more than most independent fundamental KJV thumping Baptists know, because he was, again, a student of the Scriptures. And so in Daniel chapter 9, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. Daniel read books again. That's the books of the Bible that he was reading. He understood by books the number of years wherein whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he should accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Daniel chapter 9 continues on with that prayer, which would be a worthwhile prayer for us today in the troublous times that we live in. And so here we see that some things that Daniel and ergo these wise men from the east knew about the coming Messiah. They knew he was a coming Savior to mankind. They knew Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. They knew that he would be of the seed of Abraham, Genesis 12. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Be careful here to know what we know in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We believe in the infallible, inerrant inspiration of a preserved Bible. And we do not believe that there's a bunch of ecumenical scribes that can give you what they think God meant to say and substitute in for God's words. Anything that has a copyright on it are man's words. God's words are not copyright. And so again, be careful of modernist Bibles. These are not just stories. These are precious, infallible, inerrant, verbally inspired words of God. And so again, every word's important. Every word has a purpose and a message. And we need to be students of that. They knew that he would be of the tribe of Judah, a Jew. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between the feet, thy feet, even or until Shiloh come. Shiloh is the only time used there, that one word in Hebrew. Till Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. They knew that he would sit on the throne of King David and spring from King David's seed line. 2 Samuel 7, verse 16 assured them of that. They knew that King Nebuchadnezzar knew it too. I like this. And again, all modernist Bibles have thrown this verse out, twisted it around. But remember when there was four men in the fire, and who Neb said that the fourth man looked like? The Son, capital S, the Son of God. And all the modernist Bibles think, well, Nebuchadnezzar couldn't have known that there was a Son of God. He wasn't even here yet for another 500 years, 700 years. And yet, Nebuchadnezzar knew that there was a Son of God, and he knew that because Daniel knew it. And Daniel knew it because David knew it. And David knew it because he wrote Psalm chapter 2 down for God. Boy, again, it says that he is the Christ, the Messiah, is going to be the only begotten Son of God. Don't let the modernist ecumenical people fool you. Old Neb, he knew it. And so did these wise men. I love that verse in Psalm chapter 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. I'm going to suppose that Daniel sat down and preached this verse to O King Nebuchadnezzar and went on through the rest of that psalm to explain again that God has an only begotten Son. These wise men knew that. It's unfortunate we live in a society where most people don't know that. Listen. Most, quote, Christians who call themselves Christian aren't even that sure of that. The American Baptist Church, way back in the early 1900s, voted again on whether they should believe in the virgin birth of Christ, and it failed. And so the American Baptist, I wish they'd take that name off of there, Baptist, because Baptists are people of the book. Baptists are base all their faith and practice out of what the book says. But American Baptist churches, if you've gone to one of them or if you're a member to one of them, Lord help you. You need to get that fixed, all right? But the American Baptist churches, again, decided that, hey, since it's only in 2 out of 4 of the gospel, it's 50-50 doctrine, and you don't have to believe in the virgin birth of Christ. So, again, I don't much like that thinking. They knew that He would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:13-14 says it very explicitly, very clearly, unless you have a modernist Bible. If you do, I suggest you fix that problem and get a real Bible. And so again, we know again that these wise men knew and expected that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. Notice again, when they came, I like this again, and I don't have time to develop it. I don't think I put it in my slides. But when they came and worshipped Him, they worshipped Him. Huh? They worshipped the child. And yet they knew God's command that thou shalt have no other God. Thou shalt not worship any other God. And yet they worshipped the Christ. It might have been in there, in fact, where I went down through all the times that Christ was worshipped by man, and rightly so, because He was God. They knew He would be, oh, I like this, the mighty God. They knew that this child that was to be born and laid there in that manger was to be the everlasting Father. So they knew some things, and some things that even Christians today need to sit up and take note of, and understand better that this was God manifest in the flesh. They knew that He would be a foundation stone from Isaiah 28. They knew that He would be a stumbling stone from the same scripture. They knew again that this one would not be believed by the world. And so again, there He's listed as that stumbling stone. They had this scripture, Isaiah 8:14, and He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They knew some things about this Lord Jesus Christ that was born there in Bethlehem. They knew that He would die for the iniquity of the world. Isaiah 53:3 says, He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord, that's Jehovah, Jehovah God, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, hath laid on Him, this servant that was to be born, the iniquity of us all. They knew some things about the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, I wish that my neighbor knew that much about the Messiah. I wish our White House knew a little bit about the Messiah. I wish your neighbor knew a little bit more about the Messiah. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we see again that these wise men knew some things. What the wise men saw we have seen his star in the east. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Let me mention this again. We here know all scriptures given by the inspiration of God. And listen, that star, according to my Bible, went over and it pointed to a house. Listen, I've been in the astrologies. I've looked at all the people who thought maybe Mars and Jupiter crossed and made a cross in the sky. And they made a symbol and they pointed again to Bethlehem. Yeah, that's all possible. But listen, those stars could not point to a house in the city of Bethlehem. And so we believe the Bible first. The astrologers, let them reason. Now, the modernists try to naturalize everything. They even say that they crossed the Reed Sea, not the Red Sea, so that they could wade it across there on dry land. Listen, the modernists and the liberals will try and change the words of God. That's why it's important that you hold on to your Bible tight, because they did change the words of God in every modernist version. They say it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. They say he didn't miraculously feed 5,000. He just taught people how to share. And so it was a sharing lesson that caused that 5,000 people got fed. Listen, they teach that right over there in that church. I was over there and heard them teach that. Remember when we had the picnic here in Dresden? Their pastor come over and shared with me, "Isn't this sharing wonderful? It's just like when Jesus fed the 5,000. They taught him to share their food together, and they shared and sure enough fed 5,000. Listen, that's balderdash. That's not what happened again at that miracle at all. And so the modernists and the religionists of our day try to rationalize and naturalize every miracle that's in the Bible and remove all supernatural. And so again, as you're just aware of that, be careful of that. These wise men, they saw a perfectly natural phenomenon, they say. And I can show you what it was back in 4 BC. And again, I've done this with some of the astrology programs that I had that shows the location of the star. It's amazing, again, that you could do that. But you could back the stars all the way up to 4 BC and look at them at this time of the year. I've done that even on my little computer at the house again and backed up all the star locations and looked at their locations back in 4 BC. I've seen the planets change sides and cross Mercury and Venus crosses over each other. I've watched all that. And again, I love studying the stars. And I don't mind at all that you go to a planetarium and study the stars. They show the glory of God. They show his handiwork. You can stand at awe and start. I was born under a June star in 1952. And so the stars give me certain personalities. And I can go to the horoscope in the newspaper and find out what's going to happen to my day. Be careful of that. Understand again that that is witchcraft. That again is false worship. And so again, there's really a lot of things about stars that you want to be aware of and study, but they always point to God. They always point to Christ. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Now, by all means, go to the planetarium, study the stars, marvel at the planets, at Venus, at the morning star, at the evening star, at the supernovas, millions of light years away. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork, it says. But this little star is a miracle. And the wise men saw this miraculous star. It was a sign from God, and they knew it. Do you want a sign from God? I got 66 of them right here. Okay, this is it. This is the signs that we're looking for, and we need to be looking into them. 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. And I appreciate again that we could hold that in our lap today. What did the wise men did? They brought their gifts and they worshiped the infant child. Thou shalt have no other God before thee. But Matthew 2:11 says, And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Is that what your Bible says? And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As we look again at all these scriptures, again to understand, in Matthew chapter 8, and behold, they came a leper and worshipped him. Matthew 9, a certain ruler came and worshipped him. Matthew chapter 14, and they worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Matthew 15, then came she and worshipped him. Matthew 28, and they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Matthew 28:17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. And some doubted, it says. Mark chapter 5, he saw afar off, and he came, and he worshipped him. Luke 24, and they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. John 9, and he worshipped him. Acts chapter 10, and Peter was coming to Cornelius, met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Paul, again, had the same experience when they worshipped him and Barnabas. And he said, no, no, I am a man. Again, not to be worshipped. But yet, in Revelations 5:14, and the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. This Christmas, worship our Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy of our worship. Wise men still study him. Wise men still see him. Wise men still seek him. And wise men still worship him. Let's be wise. Let's again worship him this Christmas time. Father, praise you. Thank you for what your word says. Thank you again about the marvelous insights that you gave even throughout scriptures from Genesis 3 all the way to Matthew 2 where we read today that these wise men knew some things about your only begotten Son. Father, we know some things here today because you saved us from hell. You saved us from sin. You saved us so that we could be witnesses of your saving grace. I pray that you'd anoint and bless and touch our week in a special way. We give it to you and thank you again and praise you, Father, that we could worship you today, yea, even all this week. We'll give you praise now for your hand on each one, that we could have again your blessing and a Christmas time that would again just exalt your name. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand for our invitation. And let's just sing a couple of verses of Silent Night, Holy Night as we close our service this morning. bless you today, and you have a very Merry Christmas. If you can, we'll be back tonight and go through our cantata. Lord bless you. Mm-hmm.